present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the city of Birmingham. The name Birmingham comes from the Old English word for the home or settlement of the Beor Mingus. Beor was an early Saxon tribal leader, while Mingus are usually out on a Friday night. In the 1890s, Birmingham High Court saw a legal case between the rival sanitary ware makers, James Armitage and Richard Shanks, who were in dispute over who owned the design rights to the urinal. However, the two realised their companies would benefit if they dropped the case and merged to manufacture the urinal together, so they agreed to shake on it. During World War II, Major Arthur Crossfield of the Intelligence Corps ran a top-secret unit here and is credited with shortening the war by some months when he took Italian nationality and immediately surrendered. Birmingham was the birthplace of Lloyd Copeman, the engineer who invented the electric toaster. At his funeral in 1952, Copeman's cremation was interrupted when, as his coffin went in, he kept popping up out of the top. Only half done. The Birmingham ventriloquist, Benny Morgan, performed here for many years. Morgan was never without his dummy and conversed with it incessantly, even when at home. Eventually, his wife cracked and physically attacked him. In court, Morgan claimed she tried to gash his grains out with a gay school gat. There's been a lot of debate recently about the cost of the proposed high-speed railway link from London, which is planned to shorten journey times. HS2 is forecast to cost £33 billion, but a recent study has proved you could save all that and still get to London 20 minutes sooner by catching the earlier train. We are today guests of Birmingham Symphony Hall, which is celebrating its 21st anniversary this year. Widely regarded as one of the world's greatest concert halls, when it was built, an acoustic test proved that if a pin was dropped on this stage, the sound could be heard from anywhere in the hall, a test which could be repeated any time in the next half hour. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cry and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And eager as ever to handle the team's points, please welcome our scorer, the delightful Samantha. OK, we start with a round where the teams will come up with things that have never been said. It's a round I've been looking forward to all week. Very funny. Hope it never ends. Sorry, teams, I seem to have started without you. So your suggestions, please, of statements that have never been made and are never likely to be. You can start, please, Graham.
I hope you've brought your banjo.
Tim.
Take that grin off your face, Jack D.
Jeremy.
Yes, I have been to a harvester before.
Barry?
Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, come in!
Your mineral water, Mr. Cryer.
The name's Bond. Jimbo Bond.
That Jeremy Clarkson's a shy little devil, isn't he?
We quite like the dancing, but we just can't get enough of your funny jokes, Brucey. I'll tell you what's really good value for money these days. Handbags.
Jimmy Savile? I find that very hard to believe.
There we go. Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the game called One Song to the Tune of Another. What will happen here is that the teams will take four songs and discard the words from them, leaving just the tunes. They will then attempt to sing the words of four more songs to these original four tunes to produce a series of tuneless mismatches with the wrong lyrics. Now, I can guess what everyone's thinking. Who decided it was a good idea to ruin a load of perfectly good songs in the guise of entertainment? Well, the producer of X Factor, for one. This game needs piano accompaniment. To be able to syncopate the wrong tune around lyrics sung by a non-professional singer while keeping the whole piece flowing seamlessly takes a rare musical skill. So rare, in fact, we've never found it. At the piano, Colin Sell. Okay, we'll start with you, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Milkshake by Khalees. To the tune of Wonderful Copenhagen.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and their egg is better than yours. Damn right it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge. I know you wanted the thing that makes me what the guys go crazy for. They lose their minds the way I wind. I think it's time, la 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 wa. Warm it up, the boys are waiting, ole.
Okay, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of the conga to the tune of Summertime.
Do, do, do. Come on and do the conga. Do, do, do. It's conga night for sure. It's conga night. So join the party, everyone. The night has just begun, and we're all having fun tonight. Dance that conga till you drop, we're never gonna stop. You better hang on tight, so everybody do, do, do. Come on and do the conga choo choo choo. That train across the floor. You, 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 you. Come on and join the conga.
Just a reminder, that was Barry Cryer singing there for all of you listeners at home coming back from the kitchen. It's your turn now, Jeremy, and I'd like you to sing the words of Common People. They're taking the piss, Jeremy. I'd like you to sing the words of Common People by Pulp to the tune of the Toreador's March.
She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was Loder. I said, in that case, I will have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine, and in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do?
That was Jeremy Hardy there, and the good people of Birmingham who found an ingenious way of drowning the noise out. Finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of the Muppet Show theme to the tune of the chorus of the Hebrew Slaves.
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the lights. It's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show tonight. It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight. But now it's getting started. Why don't you get things started? It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational. This is what we call the Muppet Show.
Well, we move on now to the game called Word for Word, where random words follow each other so they make no logical sense. So teams think recent BBC press statements. Tim and Jeremy, you can start exchanging your random words, while Barry and Graham, you should listen carefully and challenge with a buzzer to take over play if you detect a connection. So off you go, Tim and Jeremy.
Mandolin.
Pulchritude.
Parsnips.
Horse.
Culinary.
Delphinium.
Heckle.
Hemorrhoid.
Barry, you've challenged there.
Overheckling creates hemorrhoids. They experience stress when they're sitting down and heckle, and it leads to an increase in hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was a space hopper you'd brought on with you, Barry.
It's a commode, if you're asking.
Well, I think you're obviously speaking from experience, Barry, and we'll take that as a correct challenge. So it's Graham and Barry to take over.
Wait,
what?
That was my word. Ah.
Stop.
Carburetor.
Coriander.
Horse.
Tim is.
It's Cori. It's Coriander. Her horse. She has a lovely horse, and she mounts it beautifully. Or sometimes it mounts her. Anyway, it's Corrie.
Who is this?
Corrie.
Yes, and
horse.
Would we know her? What connection?
You would know her if you could, but...
Sorry,
you know.
is
she on television, or is she a celebrity, or what?
She's in Coronation Street.
Sorry, is Tim broken? No, I think that was an incorrect challenge. I think you took...
Really?
I actually don't even understand what the basis of it was. hasn't counted, but don't let that put you off. Try again later. Yes, Tim.
Hesitation.
Oh, I'm afraid you're in the wrong time zone there. No, it's back to you, Graham and Barry.
Us.
Yeah,
that was my word.
Them.
Nevertheless.
Jollification.
Likely.
Yes, Tim.
It's not likely.
Well, it was sounding like the shipping forecast. Yes, Tim. So Tim and Jeremy, you've correctly challenged.
Marsupial.
Carpet.
Butterfly.
Fish.
Kebab.
Dance.
Graham.
Fish kebab.
Yes, that's a perfectly legitimate challenge that you so clumsily fell into. So over to you, Graham and Barry.
Barry.
Yeah.
That's my word.
Kangaroo.
Marsupial.
Well, wait, what does this button do? Yes, I forgot. It ends the game when people aren't taking it seriously. The next round takes a look at TV and radio programmes. The post-war baby boom generation was the first to benefit from TV being an extension of their education through science and nature programs. However, Tim was telling us he remembers as a teenager sitting with his parents watching a wildlife program featuring a pair of chimpanzees and the embarrassment caused when suddenly they started mating vigorously. Tim said he had to try to pretend he hadn't noticed by watching the chimpanzees. Most programming these days smacks of laziness, and this especially applies to the titles. So I'll ask the teams to introduce some programs that have been commissioned solely on the basis of a lazily contrived punning title. Graham.
This afternoon, another in our series of pointless things to do with a dead horse. That's Flog It at 4:30.
Jeremy?
Coming up on radio for a special feature on the Liberal Democrats. That's The Week in Westminster.
Barry.
Coming up on BBC Two, we examine the will of eccentric American millionaire Howard Hughes and why he left his entire Jackson Pollock collection to his pet Alsatian. That's the Dog's Pollocks after the news.
Coming up on BBC Four, Terry Christian examines the role of the Face magazine in the shaping of contemporary British music and fashion. That's Us About Face in 30 minutes.
On Radio 4, a new series about a community of mutants who live in a network of tunnels and caves beneath the village of Ambridge. That's Underneath the Archers, tonight at 7.
Coming up on BBC One, Tim Wannacott looks at rhyming slang in Bargain Hunt.
Later this evening, Brian Blessed will be on hand to show us how to brew a proper Yorkshire cuppa. That's E.T. at 9:00.
The next game concerns inventions, and it's a tribute to those who work tirelessly inventing things, such as the South Yorkshire Police Force. Inventions are often a reflection of who they were conceived by. So it's sometimes said that a telephone rings because it was invented by Alexander Graham Bell. What a shame it wasn't invented by Donald Trump. Now, in this round, the teams have each come along with a mystery invention, and the object of the game is for the inventors to discover what their invention is from the questions put by journalists at a press conference. Barry and Graham, you're our first inventors, and the identity of your mystery invention will now be exhibited to our theatre audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
A mind-reading machine. A mind-reading machine.
And so journalists Tim and Jeremy, stand by with your questions, and off you go.
Right, well, we've got your gadget in front of us, so let's just turn that on. Right, well, it should be in operation now, so tell us, how does it work?
Well, you turn it on, and the first thing it should do is to make a strange sort of noise. Did it do that?
Yes.
I'm wearing Y fronts, but I really don't think it's any of your business. What was the eureka moment that made you actually think of this amazing invention?
I think it was Graham.
It was, yes. I turned to Barry and said, "What's that idea you had?"
Yes.
Are you worried that it will, potentially put some people out of business, like psychotherapists, for example? I mean, it'll all process will be over in seconds, wouldn't it?
I think they'll make great use of it.
Do you think there'll be more divorces?
Oh, that's hypothetical.
Yes,
I would never presume.
Barry, we'll go to the pub in a minute. Just calm down.
Yeah. Well, let's try it on the audience. Oh, OK, let's move on then.
The lady in the front row, if you want to see what I look like naked, I do have some photographs which you can... I'm happy to sign at the stage door.
Can I just say that with our device in front of you there...
Yes.
Why are you asking us all these questions?
Well, that's a good point. It was just so predictable that you were going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to tell us what the machine is.
It's called Mindo, the mind reading machine.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Very good.
Okay, it's your turn to be the inventors, Tim and Jeremy, while Barry and Graham will be the journalists, and the identity of Tim and Jeremy's mystery invention will now be revealed via the lazy display screen. And the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The Dyson toothbrush. The Dyson toothbrush.
Well, this, I think, is probably a sort of an improved version of the normal example of this sort of thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's vastly improved. It's a new generation.
It's a new yes.
You've moved on, haven't you? You've moved on. Looks very impressive.
It is.
Thank you very much.
And we've plugged it in this time, so we're hoping for great things now.
Yeah. How big is it? Can you describe it?
I'd say it was big.
We were thinking big. I mean, when you're an inventor, you sort of think big, always.
About
the size of whales, actually.
So where would you keep it if you had one of these?
In my trousers. Well, there's not much room in there, let me tell you.
Well, we have one here, and we're looking at it. Before we switch it on or try it out, are there any safety features, any...
Well, the goggles are very important.
You have to wear goggles when using...
And earth yourself.
Yeah.
Stand in any puddles.
No.
Don't run with it.
No. Sounds good.
Stand back. And put on this leather apron. Actually, I just wanted to see what you look like in goggles and a leather apron. You can take them off now.
We could give it a try.
Yes, by all means.
We'll give it a go. Game for that?
By all means.
We'll give it a go.
OK, Barry, open up your mouth.
OK.
Don't really...
Oh.
Now, we must move on now.
I'll say this, they're very clean.
Obviously, you'd want something that would clean teeth.
Yes.
Very well.
Yes. In its advanced form.
A futuristic.
It might have a brand name, even.
Yeah.
We haven't thought of a brand name yet, but we were thinking of maybe the Dyson... Is that what it is?
The Dyson toothbrush, yes. Yeah.
Dyson toothbrush.
Very good. Okay. Right, well, let's try that one more time with Barry and Graham as the inventors, and the identity of your final invention, Barry and Graham, now be displayed to our theatre audience. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
A wind-powered radio. A wind-powered radio.
Well, Barry and Graham, obviously in this time of awareness about climate change, this is a wonderful step forward.
Thank you.
Clearly, it's absolutely sustainable.
That's what we were aiming for, absolutely. Yeah, sustainable, yes.
And what else were you aiming for?
Just sustainable.
What do you think its main uses will be?
Sustaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, that in itself is a worthwhile thing.
Oh, it is.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
But of course, it's great. It's sustainable. It's ecological. But of course, it's rather dependent on the weather being
appropriate.
Oh, yes, obviously.
Is there a backup when that isn't happening? Have you?
Oh yes. Yeah.
So that's what the bag of sprouts is about. You've got there.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try and tune it in now. Oops.
Yeah, there are warnings of gales in Thames, Dover, White, Biscay, Trafalgar, Fitzroy, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes.
Right, well, you won't need the bag of sprouts in that case if there are gales.
Now, on Radio 4, the Moral Maze.
Ah, the Moral Maze. Well, there'd be plenty there to keep it going if you... a lot of... A lot of old ones on there.
So that's our most sustainable source.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to... Let's see how it... Oh, no, it seems to have died. Let's give it a bit of a boost here. I'm going to try it again. Let's see. Oh, no, it's died again. Here we go. So obviously it's going to be fantastically popular among vegetarians.
Yes.
And so what's the name that you have for this device?
Well, it's copyright at the moment. We can't divulge that. There's a court case going on as we speak.
Yeah, we were going to call it the Wind Up Radio, but we found that... And it's also available as a suppository.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for a round of the Entomologists Film Club. Samantha has to go now, as she's off to help an entomologist friend who's preparing exhibits from his collection of large European beetles. Samantha says she's looking forward to mounting his longhorn in the Natural History Museum. So while she's away dealing with that, I'll ask you teams to suggest titles of movies that might appeal to an audience of insect collectors. You can start, please. Barry?
Lady Chatterley's Lava.
Tim?
The Sting.
Ah. Jeremy?
Up Pupae.
Graham?
Born Flea.
Cockroach Orange.
Moth by Moth West.
Cicada They Hum. Blue Bottle Hawaii. The Blue Bottle Brothers. So I Married a Thorax Murderer.
The Weevil Wears Prada.
The Social Network.
12 Angry Bees.
Flea Willy.
Bring me the headlice of Alfredo Garcia.
Oh, yes.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the chainsaw of time smashes the tobacconist's display of destiny and the lumberjack of fate is told he's supposed to be cutting ash trees, not ash trays, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Birmingham, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Jeremy Hardy will be given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith. We'll be right back.